collaborative,
experimentation,
the next idea.
We need a participation revolution, and we need it fast.
In the 1970s, the Japanese concept of Kanban turned the U.S. auto industry on its ear. Just-in-time inventory and manufacturing. Well, now that just-in-time concept is being applied to keep people on track after rehabilitation, keep them healthy. Just-in-time adaptive interventions, JEDI. They can bring health support to you right through your smartphone. Susan Murphy is with us now, a research professor at the University of Michigan Institute for Social Research. Welcome, Susan.
Thank you.
What is the problem that these just-in-time adaptive interventions are trying to address?
We all face these kinds of problems. It's when we have some long-term goal, say we want to be more active in our life, or we want to eat in a more healthy way, or maybe we need to manage stress better. Or if we're unfortunate enough to have an addiction, we may be in a recovery period and we're trying to manage our recovery and prevent relapse. Or if we're smoking and we want to quit smoking and we want to manage the quitting of the smoking and prevent relapse. Mm-hmm. All of these are types of problems that we would like to help people manage.
And it's done through the smartphone.
Well, the idea is that you can extend support to a person into their real life. So at 2 a.m. in a stairwell, for example, you're not going to be able to find your therapist at 2 a.m. in the stairwell. That's just not going to happen.
Right.
So how can you provide some kind of support in the context of your life at the time you need it?
And I guess the question is, how does the word come out that I need the help? That's the thing. Let's say that I've had a heart attack.
Right.
I went to cardiac rehabilitation.
Right.
They kept me doing really well on the straight and narrow and losing weight and exercising.
Managing your stress.
Managing stress. So now I'm back at work where, by the way, and this is the truth, I sit.
All the time.
All
right.
day long. And it can get stressful. So how could JEDI work for me?
So the idea is when you were in that program, you were managed. You know, someone was always with you. You exercised in a way that people were staff were watching you the whole time. Now you have to translate that exercise to real life. And you have to use those ideas to really eat well and to manage your stress. Maybe you learned certain types of mindfulness interventions, you know, like deep breathing or taking a calm moment or maybe using your hands to press a ball back and forth. You learned how to use that. The issue is, and I know I'm this kind of a person and many others are as well, the very times that I need to use these tools, often the least likely to use them. Probably because I've got too much going on.
Too much stress or
too
much whatever.
Stress, yeah. Or I'm trying to think about some problem and I just don't think, oh man, I'm feeling a lot of stress. Mm-hmm. I should use this ball and move my hands back and forth with a ball, you know, and I'll feel I can manage that stress better.
So how does JEDI know that I'm needing it?
The idea is that you are already, whether you realize it or not, you are being tracked. Your smartphone is tracking you. There's a lot of sensors on your phone. It tracks your activity level. It can be used to track ambient noise around you, like is it really loud? Or is there another person in the room? Also, if you're wearing a device like a wristband, there's a ton of commercial wristbands now.
Sure.
We'll know your step count if you've been sedentary for a certain amount of time. So there's all these different kinds of sensors that are already part of our life.
Yes.
And they can be used to, for example, to classify the level of stress I'm feeling at this time.
And then would I get a text message?
Well, it's not clear. We don't know yet.
Okay.
Is it a good idea to prompt you when you're under a lot of stress as opposed to when we think you're likely to be in the next 30 minutes?
Nip it in
underline.
The bud.
Right. And it could be that actually prompting you to try and offer some sort of support, reminding you about the mindfulness intervention, for example, it could be that if you do that when someone's currently stressed, that is the last time. I mean, it will not work. And in fact, worse still, you aggravate the person.
Yeah, you do. You get defensive and you're
And you're aggravated. It's just one more cognitive thing you've got to deal with at that moment. You want to provide that support at a time when I can make most use of it, yet not cause aggravation and burden. That's a big issue with any kind of intervention or support that can be provided in the context of your life is the potential for burden and aggravation. If you've ever tried one of these fitness apps or anything of that type, yeah. you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Aggravation is the theme.
And then you wind up deleting it or turning off the notifications.
Oh, that's what I do.
Yes.
I turn off the notifications. I delete it. I can't tolerate it. If I get stupid suggestions or, for example, here's a really big peeve of mine. Really, I'll keep my step count up. And then all of a sudden, my step count plummets. And I get this email telling me I need to increase my step count. And why? Well, I just sprained my ankle. And I'm depressed as all get out. And I'm getting this email.
Adding to my guilt.
Adding to my guilt and my stress. So the whole idea is to adapt it to you and the sensor measures. That's the dream. That's the goal. And to prevent aggravation and burden so that when you need us longer term, we're still there. You haven't deleted the app. We're still there for you because all of these issues are longer term issues. Sure. I don't know about you, but for me, they tend to be longer term issues.
Absolutely.
Healthy eating, controlling my stress. I don't think I'll ever be able to cure. Yeah. I put this in quotes. I have little quote symbols I'm making right now on this microphone.
Sure.
You know, I'm not going to cure that.
And I know that some of the JEDI projects being tested involve, you know, cardiac patients and hypertension, smoking cessation, you mentioned, voice analysis of people with mania or depression.
Right.
Alcohol or drug dependencies?
Yeah, this is a special interest of mine.
Now, how might that work?
Well, let's think of recovery support.
Yes.
And so I, in particular, I'm talking about a project by a well-known investigator in this area, David Gustafson. And in his recovery support program, it tracks where I am. I have my phone with me. Let's say I'm in recovery support. I have already identified high-risk locations, locations in which I'm likely to feel a lot of craving. As I approach those locations, it can send me a ping and alert me, look, you know, you're within a certain distance of that location. Let's think about what you're doing.
Almost a reset moment.
Right. Another option might be for you to send that notification to your partner so that they communicate with you. Maybe you're feeling a lot of craving and you're actually going purposefully to that high-risk location.
Yep.
And if someone would text message you and you knew that someone cared,
it may make you turn around.
You see that nature of that just-in-time. There's also the adaptation. Mm-hmm. Notice how we said just-in-time. And we also said adaptation.
Yes.
What you need may be completely different from what I need, right? We're different people. And things happen in our lives. Like if I did have young children, it could be that that day I had a lot of problems getting them to school. So my level of stress is a little bit higher than normal. And the suggestions that might have been useful for me on another day might not be useful today. So how do we adapt to that?
And this is all part of what you're doing is developing these apps that understand.
This is all data science.
Yes.
You know, there's this big craze about data science, and there's a big institute, Michigan Institute for Data Science. How do we use data effectively to help you help yourself rather than sell you something?
And it also strikes me that for patients, as these apps are developed and make their way out into the world to be involved in people's lives, what a great way to get support, but in an inexpensive way.
There's one project we've just started getting involved with, and that's in cardiovascular heart failure. And this is where you have sensors that monitor the fluid in your lungs. This is non-trivial, it turns out, much harder than I thought it would be. Mm-hmm. But if we can detect your level of risk for heart failure is now starting to increase, a message could be sent to a provider and they could contact you. That would be a much less expensive approach than you having to realize this, go to the emergency room.
Yes.
I mean, the cost aside,
yes.
just think about you. You know, you don't want to go to the emergency room. It'd
nope.
be much better for you to have the nurse intervene, help you. Maybe you're having problems with salt intake.
One question that I'm sure is going to come up and has come up, how can users of these apps be sure that the information is not going to be compromised, especially if we're talking about substance abuse issues.
I know. This is a big concern of ours. So I have collaborators also in Chicago, Chris Scott, and they don't allow the data to stay on the phone very long. Some of the information may be about
illegal drug activity, for
exactly,
instance.
Which is criminal activity.
Yeah.
And so you need to get that off the phone immediately so that if that person gets in trouble, your being able to help them is not compromised in some way. You know, you really need to be able to continually help that person. You try to offload that data as soon as possible. Of course, it's encrypted, but you really don't want a lot of compromising information to sit on that phone where someone can get a hold of it.
Susan, how far are we from Jedis being very commonplace?
I think we're in the very early stages. Everybody is concerned about the burden issue. We're really concerned about that. I mean, if you're trying to have a good business, you don't want to overburden people. They'll delete your app. Everybody's concerned about that. It's not in stone right now. I mean, we don't know for sure. Certainly, there's a lot of good apps out there, like David Gustafson's app has made an enormous impact. There's good, really good evidence that we're going to be able to achieve these goals, but we need better sensors. It turns out coming down the pike are going to be sensors that you could sew into your clothing. We need sensors that are less intrusive, collecting higher quality data.
Mm-hmm. But it's exciting.
I think something that we're going to do in the future, we'll see more of, is, for example, the algorithm that we're running on the phone to process the data will notice that you're not responding like you usually do. And then we can ping you and ask, what's going on? That would have been great for me with these exercise apps. I would have felt a lot better when I sprained my ankle if I had gotten an email saying, is something going on? We noticed you only got 500 steps today.
Yes.
What's going on? That would have made me feel a lot better.
Fascinating work. Susan Murphy, research professor at the University of Michigan Institute for Social Research, as we look at the Jedis, just-in-time adaptive interventions. Thank you so much for being with us on The Next Idea.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
Support for The Next Idea on Stateside comes from Michigan Economic Development Corporation, committed to marketing Michigan to drive job growth and investment in our communities. MichiganBusiness.org.